Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello again, this is Almeen, and it's our weekly show, and we have an hour of wonderful questions prepared for you. We are very delighted that you're with us today, and we have with us Paul St. John. And Paul, please just tuck right into the first question. I'm really interested to see what you've got for us today.
Well, Almeen, I thought that I would start today by asking you for a little bit of a description of what people will find in your latest published book. It's called Opening the Doors of Heaven, The Secrets, I believe, or the Revealing the Mysteries of Isis. I know it was just published this week, or just available this week, so I thought that maybe listeners would like to hear a little bit about what they'll find in that book.
Yes, I'll be delighted to speak about it. It's possibly one of the books that I have enjoyed the most writing. And I did it in conjunction with the Ascended Masters of the Sacred Order of the White Rose, which is a magical order who guard the mysteries of Isis and are, in fact, out of Ireland. And they assisted me as I've translated it to bring it into form. And what it was is that I was permitted by Mother to enter this incredible, incredible library, the first sacred library on Earth during the Ascension to open. It's the Mother Library. There are thousands and thousands of plates inside the library, as well as these tubular canisters, which I presume I never opened one, have scrolls in them. The canisters are gold. The plates, I translated a set of plates. It has three rings in the back. They're gold plates. And then Mother had me translate a very small portion of another set of plates. And although it had gold rings in the back, it was made of an emerald-like substance. So the pages of these plates go around the rings like a three-ring binder, but they're made of gold, or they're made of whatever this green substance is. It looks like emerald, but it isn't. And it's much harder. So the point of the matter is that I translated these. I have given the glyphs. You will see the language develop through the plates. There is a prophecy in there that Isis gave, because these are the Isis libraries. And the Masters of the Order of the White Rose in Ireland, that because of the publication of this incredible piece of what is scripture, because the point is that anything that creates such an understanding of life and man's role in life and so on, as this does, and the communication directly from the infinite being, because there's a whole portion of it that is direct transmissions from the Mother, and it has come through the plates and have been translated. So this is what scripture is. And so these masters that have been the custodians of these libraries came through a time tunnel into Ireland on the 28th of January 2006. And on the 29th, after they came through this tunnel, the tunnel itself was closed. The tunnel came out at Clonmacnoise in Ireland. And at that point, these masters assumed life amongst the humans there, their ascended masters, with memory implants. Everybody around them might remember them as little boys or little girls, but they had just come in. These are the ones that have been assisting me to get this in book form. And it was very long, because there was major attempts to stop that when the dark gods were still in existence, which they are not right now. There was major attempts to stop it. There were major attempts to use some of its information as a power source. And so the book has had multiple delays. I finished writing that book on the 15th of June, 2007, and it has just been published. And I've never had that before. Books usually, by if I'm finished writing with them, it's 2 months and they're printed. So, you know, the book has been written by the instruction of the mother herself. It pertains to multiple prophecies for our day and age and our time. It dovetails beautifully with the gift of the unicorn's second part, which is the history of the cycles. And it gives the glyphs, it gives the languages of mother. You know, the revelations in there are extraordinary. And it also sheds more light on, you know, what has shaped Earth and humanity to this point.
Wow, that's really exciting, Almeen. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be looking forward to getting that in their hands.
And you know, Paul, you've been part and parcel of assisting with the manuscript. Some of the depictions or glyphs, if you will, that came out of the Isis libraries that have been drawn in this book, they convey multiple layers. According to Mother, the Isis book has 144 layers of information in every sentence. And those depictions, just even meditating on them, they are designed to create openings within the body, within the endocrine system, to allow higher functioning within the body to occur, to bring additional, what Mother calls superhuman coding online in the DNA. In that book, it describes very, very carefully the transformations that man have undergone as this microcosm, depicting, reflecting the large transformations that have gone on cosmically. Things we've taken for granted, as this is the way humans are, completely altered, including their very anatomy. And the functions of chakras and things, completely different. It's a must read for people that do body work on other people, because we would have no idea otherwise.
Right. And particularly because I know in that book, there's also, for the first time, you share the Grand Mastery level of Belvas Batah. So that will definitely be essential for people doing their own kind of healing to learn Belvas Batah in general, and then this book helps to take that to the next level.
Yes, we included the Belvas Batah as a bonus section in the back of the book.
Yeah.
Just because I had, in the interim, through the masters in Ireland, our interaction there brought in what I knew would be there. Because Belvas Batah up to its mastery levels, which is for those of the folks that are new to this, go to our website. We have a page up, and there's a link to another website that some of the masters have put up on Belvas Batah, which is a healing modality given to the world by Mother. So if you go and take a look at it, she did this because of changing laws in the cosmos that affected other healing modalities. But the masters, I knew that this would come in. So when they assisted me to bring it, I wanted to put it in as a bonus section. And the point is that the Belvas Batah through mastery works with the lower four bodies only. So I knew that, you know, some of our old things are stuck in our higher bodies. And so that needed also to have some form of healing. And that's why I suspected there would be a Grand Mastery level. But I asked for it for months and months, and it didn't come, and then it came.
Wow. I mean, I'm wondering, yesterday you mentioned the angel gods. I know that's a very rare thing that occurred, a very rare being to find. Could you talk a little bit more about them, and most particularly I'm just wondering if that's a new being that Mother has created since the Ascension, or if they've been around for some time.
Oh, very good question. The reason angel gods are relatively rare to find is as follows. The angel kingdom, like any other kingdom, has the opportunity to go into godhood. Ascended mastery can happen to an elf, to an angel, to a human. They then can go to the kingdom beyond that and become an elf god, an angel god, a human god. So those are levels of existence that are available to everyone. Mother also created beings in the God kingdom itself, right up front. Now, the angel gods that you are referring to, there's a story behind it. The angel gods you are referring to are the custodians of two libraries, one on Mount Sinai and one on Mount Horeb in Israel. And they are keepers of these very sacred libraries that have just in the last weeks opened and that I have been translating information out of. Now, those two libraries, about a month before before they opened, Mother had to completely clean them out. Whoever the keepers were of them, and I've seen them only in relation to something else that happened in the night, but they're beings that used to wear, look very human to me. They wore long white robes. And the reason I became aware of who they used to be is that since yesterday, I have been shown images. Some of the oracles from the various orders have gotten information. It has been coming through one way or the other. I dreamt about it the night before. I saw it in vision late last night, that there is something under the Dead Sea that needs to be retrieved, and it's today's work. And it is something that pertains to Mother's crown. Now, it's some sort of gems that either go around the crown, or it's a gem that goes on the front of the crown. Mother's crown was photographed interdimensionally, and we have that photograph in the book Aruba Serena. Now, the book Aruba Serena, I must tell the listeners about, because of the fact that some of the photos in there that were crystal clear, when we put them in there, have become a blur because the realities that they depicted, the gods they showed, proved to be illusional and have been done away with. For instance, there are Thoth's robes there and his arm and things like that that you can see. It is going to be disappearing in your book, no matter when you bought that book. Things that are, on the other hand, are becoming much clearer. At first, when we had Mother's crown photographed, you know, the gems around them showed as blobs. Every month, the crown is becoming clearer in the book of Aruba Serena. Some of the other beings are disappearing, the crown, and things that are, like the fairies themselves, they're becoming clearer. The gems today, there's something that must come out of the Dead Sea that is part of Mother's crown, that will assist partners of destiny to come together and stay faithful and loving to each other. And that's the frequency that it broadcasts. You will see, and if you know today what you see on that crown, no use taking a photo because the photo will itself change. But if you know today what you see on that crown in your Aruba Serena book, in months from now, there will be an additional gem, because of what has to be retrieved there. I saw the keepers that used to be the keepers of those two libraries that were replaced by the angel gods in a vision when they used to keep this sacred temple, if you will, underneath the Dead Sea. where the sacred gems are kept that are Mother's property. They no longer are. So what Mother did, she went back in time, created angels in the God kingdom, and so she put them instead because of the corruption that would ensue of those that she originally had. So they're new in that it was just done about a week ago, or no, about a month ago, but they're not new because Mother put them way back at the beginning, so they've been there for eons. Angels don't often get to the God kingdom. The reason is that they're so expanded that they, that the kundalini, that the we write about what is required to go into the God kingdom very carefully in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But the kundalini rising is part of breaking the barrier that separates one kingdom from another. And angels seldom do that. That's why angel gods are rare. Paul, let's take a commercial break and we'll be back. And if I haven't answered anything, make a note of it and we'll get to it again.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almaine at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our second segment. Paul, did I answer everything, or is there a little more to talk about?
I think that you answered my question. There's some more questions that your answer generated, though, so maybe I'll just go ahead with those.
Yes.
You mentioned that some beings are created in the God kingdom, and others are, they have to achieve that state of awareness. And I was just wondering if you could speak about the difference between a being who is created in the God kingdom and one who has to transfigure his or her fields around the body through expanding their perception to reach that state of being.
Okay. The main thing is that if the God kingdom is earned as a meritorious next step in one's journey, the downside of it is that if one were to turn on your highest light, you can, in fact, fall out of the God kingdom. I had no idea that could happen. And in May, it was February of 2007, large numbers of humans that had made it into the God Kingdom during the previous year of rapid growth, and large numbers meaning maybe dozens, that had made it into the God Kingdom during the last year fell out of the God Kingdom because it was like the final showdown. And if they were able to go against their highest light and their impeccability, they did fall out of it. And that was a total eye-opener for me. I had no idea that that would happen. And so, you know, I asked Mother, why do these dark gods not fall out of the dark, out of the God Kingdom? Why can they fall out, but humans that have made it in there can? And she said that's because they were created in the God Kingdom. They've never been anything else. And, you know, Paul, there's definite questions that I have not asked her around that. But, you know, by all means, ask. I don't know why she did that or why it is that way. I presume it is to hold open a space for others to achieve. Because, you know, if there's a kingdom that you can achieve as part of your evolution, and it's not that you arrive then and stop, there is never-ending evolution within it. But there is a kingdom you can achieve. Perhaps she needed the markers to hold it open, and hence created gods. But it is actually a separate kingdom, and it is also a meritorious point of arrival.
It sounds to me like it also preserves freedom of choice to some extent, where beings have the choice to, you know, to work towards that goal or not.
Yes.
In a sense.
See, and it wasn't understandable to me because what I saw these gods do around me when they fell out of it is just simply, you know, that they believed lies over truth. They avoided everything that indicated to the opposite. They didn't live their highest truth. But certainly nothing as aggravated as the heinous things that were done by the dark gods and goddesses of the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't understand it. Then Mother explained, they have no place to fall to because they were created in this kingdom.
Wow. There's definitely something there. That's
yes, a lot of questions, and I haven't really asked them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not entirely sure what they are, but maybe I'll come up with some for another show.
That would be good.
Well, I will move forward now. You just reminded me of a question that came up during the last show. It also had to do with corruption of beings that previously seemed incorruptible, and you mentioned that there was some corruption that occurred regarding causing the inner earth and outer earth to be sealed off from one another for a brief time, and it wasn't clear whether that corruption occurred on the inner earth or in the outer earth. And who
well,
was exactly? Oh, both.
They occurred both places. You know, and it's like having a classroom of naughty kids and a couple of good ones in between. You're just better to separate it into segments. Then you can deal with one segment at a time. I don't know of any other teacher that proves herself wrong as frequently as I do. It's almost laughable. But the point is that in my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, I write about the giant Exblavitpata, and my interaction with him, my past life with him, my past memory with him, things like that. He always seemed totally true blue. You take Exblavitpata in the history given by the history keepers of the cosmos as the second part of the Gift of the Unicorns, the history of the cycles. They speak about Exblavitpata again being just true blue, true to Mother to the bitter end. It was only after Mother started to look through previous large, massive cycles of existence that preceded the one of eons and eons and eons of various cycles that we concluded, that she started to weigh beings against conduct from the very beginning that they were individuated. If you weigh Explavitpata from the very beginning of when individuation happens and you look at his conduct, his goody-two-shoes behavior in this cycle was entirely planned. It was planned to fool Mother. And you can see who he was. He was created by the dark gods. And what they had done is they had gained entry into one of the sacred libraries, which is the libraries of the White Horse. And the one they gained entry into is they gained it through Osiris in the southern South African hemisphere, just north of the Victoria Falls. And it has a device in it that enables you to see between these massive cycles. And they could see when basically the final reckoning would come as to who was life-enhancing and who was not. And for example, Explavitpata was able to see that this was the cycle that he had to be true blue all the way through, or he wouldn't make it. They could judge ahead of time what had to be done. But the agenda behind it was ultimately treacherous. It's not like there was a repentant heart. So, I mean, it was a huge shock to me. But that's an example of someone from the inner earth Mother had trusted, and when the corruption came out, boy, she shielded everything.
I see. So did that just happen recently, or was that a while?
It happened, the it being the shielding, or Explavitpata?
Well, just the recognition that there was, I guess the shielding is what I'm specifically asking, because I know it was just open.
The shielding happened, I would say, at the end of 2005.
Okay.
The judging against all the massive cycles that have gone before and the accessing of their records was done after an incredible event at the end of January 2008, in which it was uncovered that there was a tunnel that was like a stargate that went through the inner earth, and it went through the core of the earth into an entirely different earth. That this earth here was a projection from the other earth. That the other Earths had projected three Earths before with huge cosmoses around them. You had to get into the projector room to know that the other cycles existed.
Yes, I remember.
And the goddess of matter is a child goddess. And she left me drawings in her little child drawings of this inner portal. Finally, you know, they persisted and persisted. I said, Mother, what portal is there at the inner earth? And as we've discussed before, Mother deliberately has put herself into myopic vision for various reasons we've gone over in previous shows. And so Mother didn't look at things on the peripheral. That's why the key lightworkers' lives have been so important, because they've accessed the unknown on Mother's behalf. So that she can keep her focus on these few threads of the big tapestry. So anyway, that was, you know, the reason for that we've discussed multiple times, and the reasons keep growing, actually. But she had forgotten that this was the case. And, you know, we also have spoken about more technical things that we don't need to do again, but how the Earth had gone into her inner space. So the Earth was in her inner space. The projector wasn't. It's fascinating,
Yes, I remember when that was discovered in a class in your home. And,
yes,
it was quite a remarkable discovery.
Exactly.
And
it changed the criteria for judging the life enhancement of the soul.
Yes. Well, Almin, another quite remarkable thing that I know has occurred recently is a vision you've had of, to some extent, what you're speaking about, how important the roles of lightworkers have been in helping Mother in this ascension. And I was wondering if maybe after we take a commercial break, you would be able to share that vision with the listeners.
Yes, I'll be delighted to. And we'll be right back.
Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.
We are back, and Paul has asked me to share with you the vision that I had a few days ago. And I've actually written it down, so in our little commercial break, I took the time to retrieve it, and I think it is best because of how important really every piece of it is that I read it rather than try and remember everything that I saw. So it was on April 1st, 2008, that I found myself in Mother's presence where the following happened, and Mother spoke. She told me there's a very large change of general awareness needed to make the next transition. And so I asked her, I said, Mother, by opening the two libraries in Israel, the inner three rings of the flower have been completed. It seems as though there is a major leap needed between rings. So to bring our listeners up to speed, the libraries are open according to a new mathematical sequence that is the higher mathematical sequence of higher life that replaces the Fibonacci sequence. The inner, it's around a single ring, so that's the one. Then there are three petals around that ring, three libraries opened, with the Isis libraries being the very first petal of the three core libraries. Around that, seven libraries opened, a ring of seven. Then around that, a ring of 12 libraries opened, including the opening of the Library of the Serpent Mound in Ohio. The two libraries in Israel completed the ring of 12. Around that, there is a ring of 20. And so I was saying to Mother, you know, each time we've gone from one ring to the next, there has been a major leap in consciousness and a transition needed. So she said to me that she'd show me a vision, and I saw a huge train loaded with every conceivable animal and race being that I have encountered. I even saw some I'd never seen before, and the train looked a little bit like a depiction of Noah's Ark. The train was traveling up a very steep incline, and I watched it travel with some concern as the rail ended at the edge of a cliff. There was a chasm and a slightly higher cliff beyond that. And I waited, you know, just knowing there was an inevitable crash coming, sending all these multiple species to their doom. But instead, the train seemed to be gathering speed during its last bit of rail. At the last moment, it hinged in the middle of the engine, lifting its front part up. Its momentum carried it across the edge of the cliff, but its front part seemed to hook onto a rail on the higher cliff that wasn't visible from my vantage point. So it transitioned smoothly from one level of rail to the next and continued safely on its way. I could hear a voice say, "What an extraordinary piece of engineering. The timing of everything is crucial." Just as suddenly, the vision was gone. And I asked Mother, I said, "Mother, a train in visionary language means a change of general awareness. So the leap from one level of cliff to another must surely indicate the big leap cosmic consciousness has to make from the level in which the 12 libraries opened to the level in which the next 20 libraries will open." And she answered, she said, "Yes, you are right. And can you see that the very uncomfortable intensity of what for you are the last months," because for Mother, she's in the timeless place, "as well as the discomfort of the last days, has been necessary to build the momentum? A little bit like birth pains to birth the new. The major lightworkers would certainly have felt that." Then I said, "Yes, but Mother, there's something more that has been very uncomfortable, more than just the increase in intensity. I have this awful feeling of density in myself. And my lungs had been filling with clear fluid. My head had been throbbing. And I said to Mother, this is a lot like when you sent me back to where the ascension began. It felt like going into hell." Excuse me, let me just grab some water. And I said, "A lot like going into hell, if there were such a thing." She said, "Yes, I will explain that, but I've given you a great deal of help. It was necessary for the timing of the leap. You could not have done it in a timely fashion by yourself." And I said to her, "Oh my goodness, Mother, I'm so grateful. The writings that have opened the libraries, the pieces that I missed, they've been pouring in from the oracles and the masters of the many sacred orders you have established to bring back the incorruptible white magic and be guardians of the sacred bodies of information in the libraries. Some of the masters have been keeping down worldly jobs while the writings poured forth night after night. It's been intense." So Mother said, "Let's look at why, during a time of great opening and ascension, this overwhelming density as you describe it. And then she said, I really wish you would be more conscious about your choice of words is being experienced by you. As you know, you feel everything that happens in the cosmos. And then Mother said the following, which is, I'm quite sure what Paul really wanted me to share with you. I originated from two cells. The cell that is called by your scientists the life cell, incidentally, which is located in the pineal gland and either excretes a life hormone when you're a mortal master or a death hormone when you're not, which has been responsible for projecting reality, and its corresponding cell in the heart that the sacred libraries have revealed information about. But Mother, did you really have beginnings that small? And you have said that all life began from material life. Does that mean everything started from just two cells? And then Mother said to me, you are still thinking spatially. Everything that has transpired, for example, could have transpired in two cells. Did you not write in one of your aphorisms last week that space is nothing to the infinite? But yes, it started out as my being two cells. Around this I formed a body with trillions of other cells. In order to enter the stage play on a very small stage within my being on which I created individuations, namely the cosmos. But we have far outgrown that original stage play, having many times enlarged and upgraded the stage. In fact, can you see how the transition from the first three flower petals to the next seven and then to the next 12 was part of this upgrading of life? Well, and then I answered her. I said, when we transitioned from the three libraries or the three portions of your brain that had awakened, all of life was, in a twinkling of an eye, remade by you. That pushed us into the level of the seven petals. When we transitioned from the seven to the third row of 12, all building blocks and fields of existence were entirely remade at the level of quantum physics. What will now be the impetus for the train to jump to the next cliff? My body around the two original cells needs to be entirely remade. And at this, I got really a little panicky. I said, but Mother, won't that be like a death to the cosmos if your body goes away? After all, the cosmos being the reflection of your cells is like your body. And she said to me, when are you going to learn to trust the precision engineering? The way to do it as a blissful experience for the cosmos is to redo my body in the first moment that I formed, which was long before I formed the characters on the stage. A more fitting vehicle to assist in the projection of my glorious cosmos will now be made. And I said to her, so that is why I've had multiple dreams of cartoons changing into real people. The previous cells in your body are like a cartoon that needs to be fleshed out. And then she said, yes, it shall be soon. So let's take another commercial break and then we will be back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence. their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content that is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our final section, and thank you for joining us this week. We hope that we'll have you with us every week and that you'll tell our friends, your friends about us. So, Paul, what shall we do for the next little segment, and let's make it a very good one.
Well, I'll try my best, Elmeen. thank you for, in the previous section, you shared your vision, and thank you for that. It was really wonderful to hear. And you talk in that vision about a mother having stemmed from these two cells, which is just such a profound image to me to imagine that. I think it's something to meditate on for a very long time. But it did.
Well, and you know, it was so fascinating the way she said. I said, two cells, thinking these minutest little things. And she said, how do you know that everything ever has ever been experienced didn't take place inside two cells?
Exactly, yeah. That's what's in my mind.
So, no, there's no way for me to know that one.
Yeah.
But sorry, I interrupted. Please go ahead.
Well, on the previous show, you mentioned how the two cells pulsed each other, the one in her pineal and the one in her heart. And that makes perfect sense to me because, as you've explained many times to listeners and in your books, everything has to pulse in existence in order for it to exist. And I was just wondering if there's been any change with that law and how these two cells could pulse when polarity has been done away with in recently.
That is a wonderful question. Because, you know, it was in our last show, I believe, you and I discussed how Mother has worked diligently on getting rid of duality, which is things that have been separated that need to come together, and which is another question, if there's a cell in the heart and in the pineal, how can they be joined together? But how polarity is done away with and how duality is done away with. Polarity is this pulsing back and forth. Let's deal with it as a generic issue. Polarity used to be like somebody sitting in a chair and somebody sitting in a chair opposite, and they're tossing a pillow back and forth. One side becomes active in catching the pillow, throwing the pillow. The other one becomes receptive in receiving the pillow, so that they alternate their functions in a linear fashion like that. Polarity then changed to two people sitting very closely together on a couch. Both of them are holding one end of the pillow. The pillow is moving more on the one side than on the other, then on the one side, then on the other. But there isn't a linear transference of this pillow being tossed through the air. So there is still an alternation. It's alternating, but it isn't making a linear relay of information, because wherever there's a linear relay of information, there has been linear time. When there's linear time, there is a need for perpetrators to warn us that it is linear time that brings illusion. So you know, to get that, the two people to sit on one couch, duality had to end. Duality is the separating of things that really should be in one location, or together, or a unit. So what happened is that the fields, Mother has remade her body since the 1st of April 2008. She remade her body except for those two original cells. But what the two original cells became to the trillions of other cells in Mother's body is it became a field superimposed over it. Then, if both of them became that, they became a unified, intermingling field. They became two people sitting on virtually one location, both of them holding a pillow, and sometimes the pillow is more accentuatedly on one side and then on the other, but both of them are holding the same pillow. Does that make sense?
It does. Would it be a little bit more like a tug of war then, or would it just sort of, are they both just sharing the pillow?
Total cooperation.
Alternating. Okay.
Alternating versus linear transference.
I see. Yes, it does make sense. I mean, I guess the one thing that's coming to mind, though, is it seems a little bit less fun. And I don't know, than tossing a pillow back and forth, and I don't know where the dynamic bit comes from, and I maybe just be getting lost in your analogy, but
Paul, what you're onto something that we're about a month ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
And what you're onto is this: what is it when something knows itself to be a field superimposed over all that is? It's God consciousness. See, the linear interaction with something outside of yourself, as though you are this small bundle of body and mind and feelings, is identity consciousness. Now, I have not spoken to Mother about this. I have not received information on this. But I can deduce that Mother's two cells have gone into some massive, vast equivalent of God consciousness, seeing itself as a field superimposed over all that is. Now, there is another step beyond that where one no longer sees yourself as a consciousness superimposed over the whole cosmos, but you see yourself as that which lies outside of the cosmos. These two cells need to become a field that in some way not only overlies the rest of the cells Mother created around them, but what's beyond that. But these mind-boggling concepts, Mother usually leads us up to step by step by step. But that's why we are in a somewhat boring stage. Listen, it's bliss-filled, but it is not exciting. Identity consciousness is not some sort of plague. It's exciting. God consciousness is not some sort of an end. It's boring. And you can stagnate if you stay in it too long, like most of our ascended masters did. And I write about that in, I think, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. So it's beyond that there are stages that combine these things in which all of it is lived at once. You can stay wildly expanded while totally focused, and you can do it as a merged experience, not as three separate experiences, which is what it tends to be at the last phase of ascended mastery. On last phase of ascended mastery, you can think with those minds, but separately. Beyond that lies even more. We've got to end, and we're very much out of time, so thank you for listening.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.